Good evening and welcome to Tarot Studio for Pisces. My name's Eric, and I'm here with you on the last day of the Sun in Pisces, the last day of the astrological year, and the moment before the equinox and the full moon, and I am here with some follow-up information for you about your astrology and then a tarot card session. So I don't know if when I did the Pisces reading a few weeks ago, if I was aware of the extraordinary Mercury station direct experience that we are currently going through. At the moment, Mercury is retrograde, and it is retrograde in Pisces, and it is about to station direct next week in an exact conjunction to Neptune in Pisces. So this is like a full merger of the modern planet that is associated with your sign. Of course, from traditional astrology, that would be Jupiter, but in modern astrology, it is Neptune. And so this is, at minimum, an interesting relational experience of some kind, because it is bringing a delegate of your seventh house into kind of a full communion with rather significant object transiting your sign, one of the largest planets, and a world that suitably for Neptune is actually made mostly of water. And it's just a really unusual thing. I mean, the station direct is going to happen within 1 degree, exactly within 17th degree of Pisces, and the conjunction lasts for weeks. We are in it right now. It's going to go through a series of phases. Mercury will station direct, and then 2 days later, Neptune changes degrees of the zodiac, and that is going to come with a shift as well. Looking at the possibility of that relieving some of the pressure that you have been under, and perhaps offering a more optimistic outlook. But in any event, this is happening. And while it is happening, the sun is about to change signs and join Chiron in Aries, your second house. And the implication there is to be meticulously careful with your resources. Really be conscious about what you do with your time, your energy, your money, and whatever human resources you have available to you, help or whatever it might be, people offering you ideas or support in whatever way. And think of it all as being the same thing. This also includes your talent and your whatever personal gifts you bring to whatever it is that you do. All matters of the second house, how you use your resources. And there is a kind of a scenario unfolding here that is part of a reorientation associated with the sign change of Chiron and the sign change of Uranus, both of which have taken place over approximately the past 9 months. We had a trial run of Chiron in Aries last year, through the middle of the year, and a trial run of Uranus and Taurus last year, again through the middle of the year, and then earlier this year, both planets changed signs Tuesday for about 7 or 8 more years apiece. So this is a new environment, and we're right at the beginning of this experience of a new environment. So you're doing a lot of adapting and a lot of renewing your perspective, and this is something that you just can't take for granted. You need to really do this and, figure out where you are and figure out what's going on. I reckon things will be a little more focused as Mercury retrograde ends and as Neptune enters the 18th degree of Pisces. And we shall see what we shall see. I'm covering these events quite a bit on various in various forms, including Planet Waves FM and some recent subscriber additions, which you can see at members.planetwaves.net. And let's look at some tarot cards. I am working in this reading. I'm going to work with the Jodorowsky Camion version of the Tarot de Marseille, one of my favorite decks of all. If you're curious about this one, just look up the Jodorowsky Tarot. It's a Renaissance-era deck that is has been redrawn, probably in Photoshop 1, by Alejandro Jodorowsky, the film director, the surrealist film director, and all-around intriguing person. And let's see what we've got here. Putting down cards. All right. So I've got some cards down, and I start with the fourth position, what you want. And in this position, we have the Emperor. So this is fairly easy to see what it's about, which is that you want to have control over your affairs, and to some extent that is actually possible on the physical plane, where you can take control of your decision-making process and basically claim authority over your own life. This is not done in one maneuver. You might wake up and decide you're going to do it and start, and resolve to make more decisions. But usually we're talking about a series of decisions that are made. What's interesting about the Emperor is that he's facing to the left, which is in tarot, possibly. We have to see the context here, facing in the direction of the past. So there may be something in the past that you're concerned about. But I would encourage you also to turn around and make sure that you remind yourself every day and every hour of the day that you really need to face the future. But in any event, we get a strong beginning, and we'll keep that in mind. So the Significator card at the center is another trump card. It is the Lovers. This is almost always a positive card. It's also a card about decisions. In essence, this is the card of decisions, and a reminder that in any relationship, there's going to be more than two people. So it's the card's called the Lovers, and then the funny thing is that four different figures show up: the man, the woman, the minister who's marrying them or officiating at some ceremony, and then Cupid, in some form, shows up. And is a presence. So this is also an indicator to pay attention to the other people who are involved in what might seem like a one-on-one situation. All right, an influence coming from the past is the Eight of Wands. This is honorary trump card, and it's a card that has said that basically whatever you have come through, you have done it well. And that, in a sense, you're actually clear of the past. That there's not a lot from the past actually holding you down or holding you back. Whether it may seem that way, it may be a matter of emphasis. And what's interesting here is that the Fool, as you'll see in the photo, is facing to the right, and the Emperor is facing to the left. And if we move them, we can have them facing one another. And we have the Emperor looking at himself in the mirror and seeing the Fool, and the Fool looking at himself in the mirror and seeing the Emperor. I'm going to leave that card in that position for the sake of clarity. And by the way, we also get kind of a mirror of the Lovers card right below it, though there are fewer people in the Emperor-Fool correspondence than there are in the Lovers correspondence, but it is still people facing one another. All right. This is before you. Another eight. This is the Eight of Pentacles. And the Eight of Pentacles is a don't rush your healing process and don't rush your growth process. It is springtime. We're about to be springtime tomorrow. And this is a time of new growth. And the counsel of the eight is to protect what you've gained and then also to, let what has sprouted grow. So the counsel of the eight is patience. Let's look at the resistance position. Now, here we get the death card inverted. So if we read it right side up, let's just try it right side up. It's a little easier to see upside right. The idea coming out of this card, I think, is the totality of the change that you're going through. I don't know what this Mercury conjunct Neptune is really about, but it's the kind of thing that is so unusual and, in a way so spectacular that it is going to be a little bit unpredictable, except that it is safe to say that it is significant, that it is personal, and that it involves some kind of a transformational experience of your environment responding to you in some way. So let's hold that thought, but I'm going to return it to the inverted position. And I would suggest that you make peace with the possibility of needing to make big changes and big decisions. Let's take a look at your environment, what surrounds you. First position, we get the Queen of Pentacles, and she's facing inward toward the spread, so she's facing inward toward you. And this looks like someone in an assisting role, someone helping. We get two court cards in this position. One is the Queen of Pentacles. So that is someone who is probably female, supportive, friendly to you. The second is the Page of Swords. And in the Page of Swords, there's always a question of what the message of the Page of Swords is. And the message that in a second card I'm getting is that it is the message is that the world. And so I am not sure how to read this, but the thing you want to do with the Page of Swords is pay attention to communications, pay attention to messages that are coming toward you from whatever source, and be careful not to ascribe superstitious value to anything, but also to pay attention and to utilize information that you need to be paying attention to. And it with the world as the card associated with the message, this is another one of those significators of something that is a large change. And what I suggest you do is keep a positive reference frame and be open to being supported. This is really important. It is easy to repel or bypass assistance by being closed to support. So be open to help. It's a very commonplace thing for people to shut down and not receive the help that's offered to them. And I suggest you keep your spirit open to that. All right. Outcome at present course and speed is justice. So we've got a lot of trump cards coming up in this spread. In fact, most of the spread is trump cards. We've got the Fool, the Emperor, Justice, the Lovers, the World, and Death, all in the same card. And we have Death inverted. So the implication here is that this is a big time of change in your life. I know that we kind of live in one of these points in history where the only constant is change, and there seems to be no, getting off the carousel ride. However, this to me looks like you will need to man up, as Roger Waters said to women in Lucius when he told them they were going to come on tour with Roger Waters tour. He said, "Man up, isn't that funny?" To Lucius, so and be ready to live your life on another scale, and keep your mind off of the self-defeating emotional wavelength of any form of disappointment. The spread checks with a Two of Wands card, and the Two of Wands card is it's about having dominion over your affairs. It's very similar to the Emperor. It's a fiery card. It's a card associated with Aries, and it is about business coming back to you. It's about a response to what you have put out, and so that response looks like it is it is all over the spread. During this phase of Mercury stationing direct, and a year that is colored by this Mercury retrograde in your sign, I suggest that you pay very close care with legal details of things, contracts, agreements, commitments, promises. Make sure that you have everything in order, everything in writing, that if you have insurance policies, they are the correct insurance policies, the provisions are correct, and that they are paid up and on time. So you might want to review all of that and go through a systematic review of all contractual affairs that you are involved with. Make sure that you have been paid for the work that you are owed. Make sure that you have paid money that you owe. Stay in contact with anyone to whom you owe anything, and demonstrate your integrity around that, and stay in charge of your affairs. There is a lot of protection around you. There is a spirit of making decisions in the air. And if you keep your focus and pay attention, you will make good decisions. One last thought from the astrology, and I probably went through this bit in the astrology portion of the reading, but in case I didn't, Chiron is not alone in Aries. For you, Aries is a sign associated with finances, and it is a sign associated with self-esteem, and it's a sign associated with tapping into your resources. And with Chiron in Aries, in your second house, is a point called Salacia. It's a trans-Neptunian object, orbit of about 300 years, so it's a potent slow mover, fairly recently discovered in this century. Or maybe very late 20th. I'm not sure if it was like 04 or 99, but still, it's one of the recent discoveries, one of the quote unquote new Plutos out there, even though it's a different energy than Pluto. And that is about sexual maturity. And Chiron is now in the process of making approximately, well, it's in the peak of a 3-year conjunction with Salacia. Chiron is going to bring things to awareness, and it is bringing to awareness what I would describe as matters of sexual self-esteem. This is, again, not something to be taken for granted. It is something to work with consciously and carefully, and to see if you can, on your own terms, come up with a concept that you can relate to, that would equate to sexual self-esteem. There are a lot of walking wounded people out there when it comes to sexuality, and to some extent, every person on the planet feels in some way betrayed or let down by this whole thing about sexuality. I mean, it turns out that at the time that we were first discovering that there was something possible in the way of expanding one's horizons and experiencing some sense of liberation around sexuality, that a commercialism took over and began associating everything of a sexual nature with everything of a commercial nature. There's very little sold that is not sold utilizing some sexual bait. And this has been hard on a lot of people. And you happen to have inherently positive ability to keep a strong sense of who you are around this area. But I would suggest here that the planets and their courses are guiding you to really bring this matter of sexual self-esteem into the foreground and know what it means to have self-respect, and moreover, to have actual possession of your sexual resources. This is the big thing right now. This is the whole battle royale, allegedly over consent. It's not really about consent. It's about one's personal sexual resources. And we possess them in the second, and we share them in the eighth. And it is up to you to determine the conditions under which you possess them in the second, Aries, and share them in the eighth, Libra. But both are very important and particularly significant for you right now. And when something is this significant, the first thing to do is to keep it right in front of you and make sure that you're aware of the scenario and that you're aware of the decisions that you need to make as you make them from moment to moment. And making decisions means taking responsibility for making those decisions. It's not someone else's fault if you make a decision you don't like, unless you were blatantly deceived, which is only good for once or twice, or if you were blatantly forced into something. And neither of those are particularly likely. Usually, there's a decision-making process that we go through, and by usually I mean 90% of the time. There's a decision-making process that we go through, and this is the process to make as conscious as possible, again, what you, how you relate to the resources you possess and the terms on which you share the resources that you are choosing to share. You are the person who sets the initial terms, and perhaps there is some quote-unquote negotiation that goes on, but ultimately you're the person in charge, and you are the person who is making the decisions. That is what I have to say to you. I have said a lot about Pisces in recent issues of Planet Waves and Planet Waves FM, particularly last week, did a really long talk about this Mercury station direct conjunct Neptune, and brought it in to some alignment with the human design system. So if you're curious about those things, check it out. That's the first program up on the website, at least at this point in the very late winter of 2019, at planetwaves.fm. That's free to listen to, of course. And if you are looking for me, you know where to find me. And that is most easily done at EFC@bookofblue.com. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for your business. Thanks for trusting me as your astrologer. And I will catch you another time. Bye for now.